This is Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole, with your host Sue Bushka from Bushka Retirement Solutions and Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Sue and Cole provide their clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here with the financial information you need are Sue and Cole.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Financially Speaking. My name is Cole Bruner from Bushka Wealth Management, and joining me this week from our Eau Claire office is Ryan Connor. Now, during our show today, listeners, if at any point today you want to get a little bit more information about what we're talking about, feel free to give us a call right away at 715-355-4445 or visit us online at retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbuska.com. Of course, as I always mention, while you're on the website, make sure you check out the radio and TV show pages. We've got some of our previous episodes out there for you to review and, of course, catch up on content if you missed any previous episodes. Now, in addition to that, you can also subscribe to the radio program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music if you would like. Now, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 reduced personal income taxes for many Americans, but it does expire on December 31st of 2025. And if Congress does not act, taxes could rise for many households. While no one can predict the future, Congress will have three choices: extend the legislation as is, adapt it, or allow it to expire. But without an extension or other changes, income taxes will likely go up for many of us. And to add another wrinkle to the situation, the federal exemption for gift and estate taxes will be cut nearly in half if Congress does not act. So during today's show, we're going to discuss the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 and what its possible expiration could mean for you and your financial strategy. But before we get into that timely topic, let's make sure to say hello to everyone here with me today, Tony and Ryan. Tony, how are we doing this morning?
I am doing great. I've had a great week and just keeping really busy. Taking care of my aging parents keeps me busy, and work, of course. I'm great, but Ryan, that's the key. Haven't had you on the show before. How's everything going?
You know, it's going really well. And you said you're taking care of aging parents. I am taking care of a toddler, so that is equally exhausting,
okay,
in terms of care responsibilities. But she's great, and everything is going real well.
Yeah, yeah. So taking care of a toddler, that is, it reminds me of a bit. How old is your child?
Just over a year and a half.
Oh, a year and a half. So you're well into it. But do you remember when it was first born and it was a baby? Here's just a little bit about that.
And then comes a very special time. Your first test as a father, a diaper. You're ready. You may be a lumberjack. You may have been a Marine. You may have seen blood and guts. But you've never seen caca like this. It's incredible stuff. It's part toxic waste, part Velcro. First time you peel back that diaper, it's like, honey, I've got it. What are you feeding him, algae? Oh, no. And usually the baby's down there going, yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, go Robin Williams.
You mentioned that, Ryan, and I had to play Robin Williams because the day our show airs this week, I believe it's April 11th. Anyway. That Sunday is the anniversary of his passing, so I thought I'd work a little Robin Williams into the show today.
I think you meant August 11th.
August,
right?
11th. Did I say April? Yeah, I did.
April. I'd love it if it was April 11th all over again.
Wouldn't that be great? See, that's the problem. I'm living in the past. I was hoping it was still summer, not headed into fall. Yeah, Ryan, great to have you on the show. And it sounds like, Cole, you've got a great topic for us today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Cole, how have you been, though?
Oh, good. You know, you guys are talking about taking care of aging parents and taking care of toddlers, and all I've got over here is two dogs. So.
Yeah. Well, your mom, I mean, we know.
Well, that's true.
You're taking care of Sue, but she's young at heart yet. You got a ways to go before I would consider her an aging parent, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And if she ever heard me call her an aging parent, that might be the end of me.
I didn't even allude to that. We're going to edit that out. That's I don't want to. I don't need that kind of grief. So you're taking care of the dogs is what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
That's all my role and responsibility here.
Well, you're taking care of a lot more clients and people there at the office. You're dealing with a lot of clients, a lot of employees, and I know you love it and you love helping people. So that's great, Cole. Now, let's jump into this topic. I mean, it sounds like the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 might be going bye-bye. We don't know. And that possibility probably has some people out there worried about what it could mean for their financial strategies and retirements. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, so an Investopedia article that kind of explains what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was, kind of walks through the legislation, explains what it means for a lot of different Americans. From a basic level, the act was a massive overhaul of the tax code, and that took effect in 2018. It was the largest piece of tax reform in about three decades. At the time, it created a flat tax for corporate tax rates at 21%. That part was made permanent, so that won't be changing going forward. However, most of the tax cuts for individuals were temporary. Thus, we need to keep an eye on how Congress chooses to handle this legislation's potential expiration at the end of next year.
And I think I remember what those tax cuts for individuals were or about, but maybe you could give us a recap, Cole.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. The legislation certainly was very thorough, Tony, but first it changed numerous tax rates. The top tax rate dropped from 39.6% to 37%. 33% bracket went to 32%, and then 28% was reduced to 24%. Now, meanwhile, the 25% bracket dropped to 22%, and the 15% bracket was slashed to 12%. Now, the 10% tax bracket, which was the lowest tax bracket, that was unchanged, and the 35% bracket was also left untouched.
Okay, so obviously some things changed there, and for the better for a lot of people. So that means if you're in one of those brackets, I guess your taxes could go up, though, at the end of 2025 unless Congress takes some additional measures, right?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. So Congress can either extend the act to basically just keep it going. They can set a different sunsetting deadline for it. They could pass similar legislation. Otherwise, we will see some pretty significant changes one way or another when it expires at the end of next year. Now, one element that we think is kind of under-discussed in general is that there's actually going to be a major change to the standard deduction. And this may be more impactful for folks than the actual changes in brackets. So this year, the standard deduction is $14,600 for individual filers and $29,200 for married couples. The Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017 also got rid of the personal exemption through 2025.
Okay, so what exactly is the personal exemption then?
So the personal exemption was $4,150 and was made available to every taxpayer. Now, while the legislation ended this particular deduction, it made up for it by modestly increasing the standard deduction.
Yeah, I know that standard deduction went up, and that's nice. And I'm probably stating the obvious here, but if any of our listeners out there are concerned about what this means, the expiration of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 could mean for them, I think their first step should be to reach out to you guys, financial services professionals, to help them. Now, Cole, can you also tell us how the Affordable Care Act mandate fits into all this?
Well, I definitely can, Tony. When the Affordable Care Act was signed into law, it included tax penalties for people who neglected to buy health insurance. But the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 eliminated that requirement. Now, the legislation also increased the child tax credit to $2,000 and created a $500 credit for non-child dependents. Now, both changes will vanish if the legislation is allowed to expire at the end of next year. Now, the estate tax is also an issue here. The legislation increased the estate tax exemption limit, and this year it's a maximum of $13.61 million. Like every other part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, that will also expire at the conclusion of 2025.
Okay, so when you say the estate tax exemption, what do you mean by that?
Well, Tony, it's the maximum amount of an estate that you can transfer to a beneficiary before the estate tax is triggered. And that means if you have an estate worth $14 million, your beneficiary would only be required to pay taxes on $390,000 of that total.
Okay. So let's imagine then a hypothetical, right? A situation where the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is allowed to expire untouched. What happens then?
Yeah, so rates would return to what they were basically before the legislation was signed into law. So it's going to revert back to the old tax code. It's going to adjust that for inflation, so that would be about $5.49 million at that time, which now projects to about $6.98 million after we do the inflation adjustment. So if we use that same $14 million estate as an example, you'd end up paying taxes rather than on just about $390,000. You'd pay taxes actually on about half of it. So if you have a significant estate, you should really closely monitor how Congress handles this legislation in the months before its possible expiration. Once Congress makes a final decision on that, whatever that may be, and it may be end up being somewhere in the middle, they might compromise on that and end up somewhere in the middle, you should review your entire financial strategy with your financial services professional ASAP.
Right. And I think that's really important. Thanks for that, Ryan. Now, before we go on, we have to take a quick break. And before we do that, Cole, why don't you let our listeners out there know how they can get a hold of you and set up that no charge, no obligation consultation?
Oh, for sure, Tony. I'd be happy to. For any listeners that are concerned about any of these topics or really concerned with any topic related to their financial plan, they should reach out to us and give us a call at 715-355-4445, or they can visit our website, retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com.
All right. And listeners, we're going to be right back with more of Financially Speaking right after this.
When you think of a puzzle, what would you say is the most important piece? A corner? A side piece? I would argue the most important piece of a puzzle is the picture on the box. And the same can be said for your retirement. Cole Bruner and Sue Bushka from Bushka Retirement Solutions would love to show you your retirement picture. For more information, call 715-355-4445 or visit their website at retirewithbushka.com.
Welcome back to Financially Speaking. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with our hosts, Cole Bruner and Ryan, up from Eau Claire today, right?
That's right.
That's right.
All right. Well, you guys have been talking about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which is set to expire at the end of next year. And if that happens, that means taxes will go up for a lot of Americans, though I know Congress hasn't indicated whether it might try to extend it or revamp it. And who knows if either party will keep it as it is. So there's still time for it to act, though, and make some changes. That's why we have to look at this and what it might do. What do you have for us next?
So I'd like to continue this conversation by addressing some tax strategies for retirement withdrawals. The implications for those are one of the client's biggest concerns. And there's actually a U.S. News and World Report article titled How to Pay Less Tax on Retirement Account Withdrawals that actually has some really useful insights on this. The first piece of the strategy should be ensuring that you avoid early withdrawal penalties. So if you have a 401k, a traditional IRA, and you look to make withdrawals before you reach 59 and a half, you could be staring at an additional 10% early withdrawal penalty. Now, that is in addition to the income taxes you will already have to pay on those accounts. Now, you may begin penalty-free 401k withdrawals when you turn age 55 if you leave the job directly linked to that specific account. So there's a special kind of exception to that rule. For the specific 401k, if you leave that specific job after the age of 55. In addition, it can be possible to avoid early IRA withdrawal penalties if you utilize the money for a couple of special exemptions as well, like approved expenses for medical bills, college costs, or as a first-time homebuyer.
So working to devise a retirement withdrawal strategy that's thoughtful and broad, that's a great reason to work closely with financial services professionals like yourselves. And speaking for myself, with retirement withdrawals are just too critical to my overall retirement strategy and my wife and I's strategy to begin them before working with somebody like yourself. I mean, it's a must. So, Cole, what else do you have for us on this?
Well, Tony, in some cases, you may be able to roll your 401k over without tax withholdings. So let's use a quick example here. Let's say that you take money out of your 401k when you change jobs. In this scenario, 20% may be withheld to cover income taxes. Then, if you don't quickly put the entire distribution, including the 20% that they took off, in a different retirement account, you could then be slapped with income taxes on top of a potential early withdrawal penalty for what you've taken out. However, you may be able to avoid both the tax withholding and those possible penalties and fees if you directly transfer the money from your 401k to the trustee of a different 401k or another IRA. Income taxes are not going to be withheld on trustee-to-trustee transactions.
Interesting. So how do RMDs, or required minimum distributions, fit into all of this, Ryan?
Yeah, so this is a very good and actually one of the more common questions that we have clients ask, because they hear about required minimum distributions, but they don't necessarily understand what they are or how they work. So as many of you listening right now likely know, you're required to withdraw money from a traditional 401k, so that's a pre-tax 401k, or a traditional IRA once you hit your 73rd birthday. The penalty for not taking the required minimum distribution as required is 25% of the total that you should have taken out. And that's an additional penalty on top of the income taxes that are already required. So depending on what tax bracket you're in, you might pay federal taxes on 35 to 60% of your total RMD for that year if you do not take it out when you're supposed to. Now, luckily, if you notice the error, promptly correct it, the penalty can drop down to as low as 10%. And if you're still working after you've turned 73 and you don't own 5% or more of the specific company that employs you in their particular stock, you are permitted to continue delaying those withdrawals from your current company until you officially retire. But note that this does not apply to withdrawals in traditional IRAs. This is only for traditional 401ks with the specific company that you are working for.
Sure.
Now, note, a final thing on that as well is that I talked earlier about how 73rd birthday is the current law. That is set to increase to age 75 on the first day of 2033. So for perhaps folks who are a little bit younger, it may not be age 73 by the time you get there.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we have that to look forward to. I mean, an older RMD age, even if the change is still a number of years in the future, is probably a factor that a lot of people listening right now will want to talk to their financial professionals about.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. And you should next be careful to not inadvertently take two distributions in 1 year. You must take your first RMD no later than April 1st in the year that you turn age 73. Now, from there, your next and every subsequent RMD is required before December 31st each year. Now, if you delay your first distribution until April, you could then end up taking two distributions in the same year, which may mean a heftier tax bill and could possibly put you into a higher tax bracket. So be sure that you're sitting down with both a financial services professional and a tax professional to discuss these potential strategies for taking your first and second RMDs in different years. And of course, if you don't have those two professionals in your life yet, keep in mind that we have both of them within our firm.
Right. And I think that's great. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but shouldn't some people get together with their financial professional to consider when they should be, whether or not they should begin taking withdrawals earlier than turning 73?
Yeah, that's right, Tony. So while there's no requirement to begin withdrawals from those pre-tax or traditional retirement accounts prior to age 73, Starting to begin smaller distributions while you are in your 60s may help spread out your tax obligation over the course of a longer period of time, and most importantly, keep you out of those higher brackets once you hit the age where you are required to take those distributions. What this can do is, over the course of time, can actually limit your lower lifetime tax payments, which is the ultimate goal of good retirement account tax planning. So, effectively, you can take 401k or IRA withdrawals in a year where either your income is lower or your tax bracket is lower than you may expect it to be in the future, which kind of loops back to our first segment talking about tax increases. Perhaps you might take it when you haven't filed for Social Security. Can help you pay a smaller income tax rate on your retirement savings overall. There are a lot of different moving parts here, and so that's why it's important to sit down with a financial services professional and a tax professional to cover all of those different variables.
And during this episode, you guys have been talking about how people can avoid paying too much in taxes on retirement withdrawals. What's next on the agenda?
So the U.S. News and World Report article, How to Pay Less Taxes on Retirement Account Withdrawals, has a lot of details I think our audience will find interesting. So sending an IRA distribution to a preferred charity is another option you should discuss with your financial services professional, especially if you don't necessarily need the income that comes from those distributions. So those who are at least 70 and a half could avoid paying some taxes on their IRA withdrawals of up to $100,000 for individuals or $200,000 for couples per year if they donate that to a charity. Now, a qualifying charitable donation must be paid directly from your IRA to the qualified charity. That means the money goes directly from wherever the account is held to the charity. It doesn't go to you first. Now, you aren't required to itemize your taxes to make this IRA charitable distribution, and you are allowed to donate to more than one charity. That charitable donation also satisfies your minimum distribution requirement for that year. And lastly, you are permitted to send a percentage of your RMD to the charity of your choice and then withdraw whatever is left over as income. So you have a lot of flexibility about how you want to do this. And sitting down and discussing this with a financial services professional and a tax professional is going to be important to make sure that if you decide to go this route, that you execute it correctly.
Right. And on previous shows, you've noted that a lot of your clients have nonprofits and charities that are important to them. So going into more detail about this option with a financial professional and a tax professional, that seems like a solid move.
Oh, absolutely it is. And dedicating a portion of your retirement savings to an after-tax Roth IRA may help supply you with tax-free investment growth and tax-free withdrawals during retirement. Now, while you won't enjoy a tax deduction in the year that you contribute to a Roth IRA or 401k, Roth 401k that is, you won't be required to pay income taxes on the investment growth in your account. And withdrawals during your retirement from an account that's a minimum of 5 years old are generally tax-free as long as you're over 59 and a half. If you think that it's possible that you'll be in a higher tax bracket after you retire or taxes will go up in the future, a Roth account may be a great way to hang on to your current lower tax rate.
Okay, wow. And I know Roths can be great, but Roths aren't necessarily the right move for everybody, correct?
Yeah, that's something that I describe to folks is that Roths get a lot of talk, but that doesn't mean that they're particularly special. All we're doing is we're flipping the order that the taxes happen in. So they may offer certain advantages like Cole talked about, but they don't fit into everyone's financial strategy. They're not some magic pill that is always the best option. The largest possible risk is when you dedicate money into a Roth account, whether that's through your 401k plan or through a Roth IRA. What you are doing is you're anticipating that you'll be in a higher tax bracket after retirement, whether that's because of more income, a decrease in deductions, or an increase in tax rates. But here's the essential question. What if you don't end up in that higher tax bracket during retirement? Obviously, you want to pay taxes on your money when your rate is the lowest. So for example, if you're currently in the 22% bracket, but you're looking like you'll be in the 12% bracket during retirement, well, you're saving much less. So there are possible disadvantages that you're going to want to discuss with a financial services professional prior to making any of these choices, because while Roth may be a great idea for some folks, it may be the complete wrong move for others.
Wow. Okay. So don't make any decisions about Roth IRAs, Roth 401ks, or any other parts of your financial strategy, again, without first talking to a financial professional like yourself.
I think that's a good piece of advice there, Tony.
Right.
Now, having tax-advantaged investments outside your retirement accounts is another way that you may be able to save money when you take retirement withdrawals. Those investments that produce long-term capital gains receive special tax treatment when established outside a retirement account. But if you place them in a retirement account, you'll pay your standard income tax rate on the money that you take out of the account. Now, conversely, you may shrink your tax payments by maintaining more highly taxed investments like Treasury inflation-protected securities, corporate and government bonds, and funds that provide short-term capital gains within your retirement accounts. Also, an important note here, I don't get too far into the weeds about investing during the show because we just don't have an adequate amount of time to fully address the rules and regulations that govern investments. But I will say, however, that if investing is part of your strategy, you should only do so while working with a qualified financial services professional.
Oh, yeah. So tell us more about charitable donations, Ryan.
Yeah, so another U.S. News and World Report article titled How to Donate to Charity from Your IRA has some useful info about this one. So the first thing you're going to want to do is make sure you meet the qualified charitable distribution requirements. So to outline some of those, you're required to be at least 70 and a half to make those tax-free charitable contributions. Those who meet that requirement are permitted to again transfer as much as $100,000 annually from an IRA to a qualified charity without paying any income taxes on that transaction. Again, if you file a joint return, your spouse can also donate as much as $100,000. So as a couple, you can exclude up to $200,000 from your retirement savings from your income taxes. Now, if you donate more than what's allowed, it will be considered income and will be subject to income taxes within that specific year. Now, one key is we talked earlier about how RMDs in that first year you can delay. Qualified charitable distributions always have to be made by December 31st of each year for that amount to be deducted from taxable income.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. Any final thoughts before we sign off today?
Well, Tony, just one final reminder for our listeners out there that when it comes to planning for all of these things that you have to think about as you're getting ready for retirement or enjoying retirement, you do not have to do it alone. That's what our team of highly skilled advisors is here to assist with. And you can call and schedule that complimentary, no obligation consultation anytime by giving us a call at 715-355-4445 or visiting retirewithbushka.com. And again, that's retirewithbushka.com.
All right. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Financially Speaking with our hosts today, Cole Bruner and Ryan Connor.
Thank you for listening to Financially Speaking with Sue and Cole. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Sue and Cole at Bushka Retirement Solutions and Bushka Wealth Management. Call 715-355-4445. Or visit them online at retirewithbushka.com. Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Wisconsin. Insurance products and services are offered through Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, and Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.